about to go live.
Live. Ottawa Senators Hockey on TSN 1200.
Here's DeBrincat into the zone. Cuts, drops. Giroux gets a shot away. Scores! Slides it through. Zub backhander. Save is made. Scores! Zub gets his own rebound. Now back to the net. Comes up front. Here's Stützle. Scores! Stützle makes it a two-goal lead.
The Ottawa Senators pregame show. Here's Graham Creech.
Good afternoon and welcome to the game day broadcast of Sens Hockey on TSN 1200. Today, the Sens continue their four-game road trip through the Western United States, still searching for their first win of the trip. And before we tee up the toilet bowl between the Sens and Ducks, let's look back to Wednesday in Vegas.
Eichel back in front, quick shot, scores! Stone on the power play. DeBrincat now. Top of the circle. Sends a shot in, that misses. Brings the boards and comes back out to center. No, stops at the line, gets caught in the snow. Long shot at the line. Did it go? Ottawa puts, yes, it's in.
Jake Sanderson.
First NHL goal. First National Hockey League goal for Jake Sanderson as Brady Tkachuk goes in and fishes the puck out of the net.
Oh, here's a steal.
Parker Kelly steals it, shorthanded, busting in. Kelly all alone. Save is made. Puck is cleared to the corner by Thompson. Harriet cuts in, keeps his balance, gets a shot, scores! Out to center, long lead pass. Here's Carlson in the Ottawa zone. Backhander, scores!
Cam Talbot goes to the Ottawa bench. The extra attacker is out deep.
That's right. And Vegas has the puck.
Out to
center. Here's Jack Eichel. Backhands it and hits the empty net. And that'll do it. The Ottawa Senators fall 4-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, third straight game here where the Senators have scored just one. The offense starting to dry up here.
Another pretty good game, another pretty good effort for the Senators against a good team, but another time where they don't see the result. Good efforts, not good enough at this point. The Senators 6-12-1 on the season. One positive takeaway from Sin City was the play of Jake Sanderson, who continues to put up Calder-worthy performances as a young stud blue liner. Scored his first career goal against the Golden Knights and in front of his old man as well. Today, the Senators face a team in Anaheim that finds themselves in a similar position. Dead last, to be exact. Head coach DJ Smith on his role right now with his team at the bottom of the standings.
100%. My job is to win games, and I know that. There is certain bits of development with Sanderson and Timmy Stützle that still has to be involved every day, but... And my job is to fix things. And if guys are hurt and guys aren't out, I got to make other guys play better. And I take full responsibility that we're not winning enough games. But in saying that, I'm not going to be negative. And I'm not going to, in turn, start pointing fingers. I think our team works extremely hard. I think they worked extremely hard last night. I think we could have had a better result. We just didn't.
Alex DeBrincat's season so far compares well to that of his team's. Chances are there, but not enough results so far. He's got just 5 goals to start his Senators career, and despite the lack of personal and team success so far, DeBrincat says he likes his fit in Ottawa.
Yeah, it's been good. I think, right from the start, I think everyone's made me feel comfortable. Obviously a little different style than I'm used to playing, so, but overall, I feel like, I'm just out here trying to work hard and, do my part to get these wins, and obviously, I think I can definitely bring more to the table, but, for the most part, coaching staff's been great to me, and, I have no complaints here so far.
Let's see if he can get cooking this afternoon at the Pond, where turducken's on the menu against the Ducks. Anaheim, 6-13-1 on the season so far, so one Ottawa really needs. Cam Talbot will get the call between the pipes for Ottawa. Kevin Mandelis has been recalled to back him up. Anton Forsberg dealing with a minor lower body injury. Still no update from DJ Smith on if Thomas Chabot will return to the lineup this afternoon or not, so we'll keep our eyes and ears on that. It's a 3:00 matinee between the Sens and Ducks from the Pond. Still to come on the pregame show, the legendary Chris Stevenson fired up to hop on the Alpine Credits roundtable. The color voice of the Ottawa Senators, Gord Wilson, will join us on the roundtable in the second hour. Gord will also go one-on-one with DJ Smith. Dean Brown will bring us a a look to the future, and also 2 minutes with. But coming up next, our NHL Insider segment with TSN's Darren Dreger, brought to you by Bean Chevrolet Buick GMC, as the Sens pregame show continues on TSN 1200.
Now, back to the Ottawa Senators pregame show with TSN 1200's NHL Insider, Darren Dreger, for Bean Chevrolet Buick GMC.
Welcome back to the Ottawa Senators pregame show as we wait for TSN's Darren Dreger to join us. Looking forward to that chat. Maybe ask him about the ODRs and the construction of that. But, of course, Senators and taking a twirl around the league as well, and he is ready to go. Let's bring him in, TSN's NHL insider Darren Dreger. Dregs, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, but it just had a small dog incident. So Tiny the Great Dane doesn't like the doorbell, and just as you guys called, the doorbell rang, and so she was in a full grouch mode, so I had to take 20 seconds to settle her down. So we're all good now.
Good stuff. Glad all settled and good to go now. Let's begin. I talk to you every second day this week, and it's similar story from a Senator's perspective. So let's begin around the league, and before getting to Sens and Ducks, and let's start with the passing of the legendary Boreas Ulming at 71. Just what did he mean to you, Dregs, as a player and as a person?
Well, you know, as a person, he was a gentleman. I got to know Boreas a little bit just crossing paths here in Toronto, but, you know, interviewing him a number of times over my career. And you know, I remember back, this was early 2000s, the Maple Leafs were in Sweden, and at the time, Boreas had basically just launched an underwear company. So, of course, you know, the Leafs are there. Boreas Ulming, that was when Alex Steen was making his way towards the NHL and whatnot. There were all kinds of storylines that needed to be covered off, and Boreas was more than accommodating and acted like, you know, Stockholm's tour guide for a short period of time as well. So, you know, a bit of a personal one-on-one experience with him there. And I just marveled at how he treated people. And that's not unusual for that era creatures, you know, right? But he, to say he's iconic in Sweden is an understatement. It is. And then to say that he's iconic in Toronto, again, an understatement. So words like pioneer have been tossed out, you know, certainly since his passing yesterday, but even when we learned of the diagnosis of ALS, and that's a fitting word, pioneer, because Boreas Ulming came from Sweden into the North American game, and he played the game, not to be cliche, like a North American. You know, talking to Bobby Clark and Dave Poulin, guys that played against him in those rivalry battles with the Philadelphia Flyers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, just marveled at how tough he was. Now, he didn't fight, but he could take a hit. He would make a hit. Man, he'd clean you up with his stick. Like, there was a meanness in Ulming as well. But from a hockey IQ perspective, you know, both men, Clark and Poulin, noted how it was next to impossible to forecheck against Toronto when Boreas was on the ice. You just, you couldn't do it. And he was a skilled shot blocker in an era where that was somewhat rare. So, you know, the greatness was there. He never flaunted it. He was a humble man, but he is among the great. So, you know, it's more of a celebration of life, I think, today, Creech, because we all saw Boreas and how heart-wrenching that was, how emotional it was during Hall of Fame weekend in Toronto. And then he followed it up with the 100th anniversary in Sweden. We all saw how emotional it was for him. But how blessed are we to be part collectively as a hockey world for those farewells. So an exceptional, exceptional human being, and I'm glad that he's now resting in peace.
Yeah, and just great that everyone had the opportunity for that farewell with coming back to Toronto, so many Swedes being inducted to the Hall of Fame this year, Swedes on the Maple Leafs, just being able to have that send-off. We're fortunate that we were able to get.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And again, to reflect back on the Hall of Fame game that TSN aired that night, you know, and then following it up on the Saturday game against the Vancouver Canucks, you know, you saw the Swedish players and how they instantly gravitated. Like, you know, that wasn't like, hey, good to see a hug by William Nylander or Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You know, those were two young men recognizing that they're maybe not playing the game the way they play the game without Boreas Alming blazing the trail and among the first Swedes to blaze the trail. So, yeah, it's got to be tough. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing this afternoon. All the afternoon games today, you know, think of Daniel Alfredson, the experiences that he would have had, obviously, with Boreas Alming. But as I said, I mean, you don't quickly flip the switch or turn the page. You pay your respect quickly. Of course, there's sadness, but Boreas Alming's in a better place than he was. And you know, the good that comes out of this, aside from us reminiscing and just singing the praises of Boreas Alming, is the awareness now globally on the work that needs to be done in the fight against ALS, right? So you think of all the great people struggling. I think of Chris Snow with the Calgary Flames. I think of Mark Curtin. And now, obviously, we've got another face, and that's Boreas Alming. Not to be a big name dropper here, Creech, but I had a conversation with Wayne Gretzky earlier today, and that was the thing that stuck out to him. Now, you know, Wayne did play against Boreas Alming, but only a few times. I mean, Wayne is that much younger than Alming. But he reflected on, the historian that Gretzky is, of knowing about Boreas Alming. And, of course, as a Leafs fan, as a young boy, you know, Gretzky would have watched Boreas Alming play for the Leafs. But for Gretz, it was more about just what can we do collectively? How can we, you know, put our voices together to even further push the cause of awareness and all of the scientific research that needs to continually to be done to help those who are in that fight against ALS. So here's hoping that that's part of the legacy, not just the hockey, not just, you know, the human being that Boreas Alming was, but the fact that, again, he raised the level of awareness in the battle against ALS that here, hoping it launches to a better place where the science and the medicine behind it can kind of match the battle.
Yeah, important message. Very well said, Darren. Now, moving to the present-day Maple Leafs, they snapped the Devils' 13-game win streak the other night. How have things turned around in Toronto since there was so much pressure on Keefe at the start of the season?
Yeah, they have turned around a little bit, but I don't know that there was a lot of pressure outside of the organization, to be fair. I mean, yeah, the fans weren't happy, and we in the media were speculating and talking about the myriad of changes that could or maybe should be considered moving forward. But inside that club, there was a sense of calmness. They were happy with the way that they were playing, and you could see that in Sheldon Keefe. Sheldon Keefe approached this season, Creech, differently. And I think that not job security. You know, I don't think that he would coach that way. Just recognition that, you know, this is the year the Toronto Maple Leafs got to make their push. You know, they'll have years to come potentially, but settling for another first round exit is not, you know, it's not in the cards. It would be grossly unacceptable and jobs would be lost. No doubt about that. So you could see some bite in Sheldon during training camp. You know, you could see some of the things that he did in adjusting his lines. You know, he did the unthinkable, the unspeakable, and split up Marner and Matthews, and that seems to have worked out well. But they faced some adversity, too. They went through the goalie injuries with Matt Murray and Samsonov. Now they're dinged up in a big way on the back with Morgan Riley out 4 to 6 weeks, and TJ Brody is hurt, and Jordy Benn is now out with an oblique strain and a broken toe. I mean, you know, they've faced their share of battles to this point, but yet we kind of focus on that, and we don't look at their last 10, 11 games where, you know, leading up to their last game, they were 6-1-3. So this is a team that has gone through a very quiet stretch of playing pretty well and getting results.
Well, Matt Murray's getting results too right now with a 3-1-1 record, .926 save percentage. I know Sens fans are still following his progress. How has he been in the Maple Leaf goal since returning from injury?
You know, he's been good. You know, he's obviously healthy, certainly motivated. You know, nobody likes to go through what Matt Murray has gone through, the professional athlete. He knows that he has to be better, you know, when he's able to be better. And honestly, the reason he's in Toronto is because of that stretch in the second half of last season, Creech, with the Ottawa Senators, where he played his best. with Ottawa, right? And then he got hurt again. And things just, they just turned raw for Matt Murray and the Sens. And the Sens, you know, had to cut bait. They didn't have a choice, and they felt like they had better goaltending options, which somewhat today is debatable, I suppose, tongue-in-cheek. But Murray had to, one more time in his career, hit the reset button. Toronto embraced him with open arms. You know, Toronto is among the clubs in the National Hockey League that boast, you know, medical and all sorts of player-friendly and supportive resources, and it's second to none. So Murray got involved and entrenched with the Maple Leafs organization pretty early in the offseason, and it seemed like he was going to pay dividends. And then he had the groin issue, and here we go again. But they were patient with him. He was patient, and he came back 100% healthy. And you know what? He has been above average. He hasn't been average. He hasn't been just okay. He has been above average. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be happy. He's going to thrive, and the Maple Leafs are going to be better.
Last out-of-market topics for you here. I guess I'll get you to hit on two things. Just a Bo Horvat situation with the Canucks, as well as the Panthers and the eventual return of Anthony Duclair, and how that impacts their decision-making process. Any updates to provide on either of those situations?
Well, why don't we look at Horvat, because I'm more in tune with that, to be fair. And I guess a quick thought, you know, not to dismiss Anthony Duclair, because I think he's a nice add when he gets back. You know, Billy Zito is always on it in Florida. So if there's an area that they've got to maybe spend some time on, I think it's their defense, then he's going to do that. But, you know, Florida is a cap team too. And, you know, it's dollar in, dollar out, you know, unless you're dealing with injury space and all of those things. But I'm curious to see with the changes in Florida, how that's all going to mesh and come together, because they've got two good players who aren't in Florida. And of course that is Jonathan Huberto and Mackenzie Weiner. As for Bo Horvat and the Vancouver Canucks, man, Bo Horvat is just bringing it, isn't he? Game after game. And I think it'd be unrealistic to expect that he can continue to score, obviously, at the pace that he's scoring. I mean, he's not going to end up with 70 goals by the end of the year. But he is not being distracted at all by market noise or the fact that, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. Instead, he's focused on being the best leader he can be. And in doing that, he's leading by example on the ice. You know, there's lots of media speculation as to what's going to happen with Bo Horvat. Are they going to trade him? The expectation is he's going to be traded. I believe, Creech, that Vancouver wants to keep Horvat. I do. And not just because he's played as well as he has, he's been as productive as he has. He's good people. He's an excellent leader. I guess I would wonder, does Bo Horvat want to sign up long-term with the Vancouver Canucks? Because, you know, when I talk to other coaches and managers and hockey people I trust around the league, they look at the Vancouver Canucks and they see Swiss cheese. Like, they see holes in that lineup that are going to take a while to address. So what direction is this club going in? I still think that, you know, Bruce Boudreau is walking on incredibly thin ice, even though they've had a little bit of a bump here of late. But if their goaltending doesn't stabilize, you know, the issues they have on defense are going to become that more exposed and apparent, and that's going to put more pressure on the forward. So Vancouver's probably going to be a story, not just Bo Horvat, but the Canucks in general, that we have to follow closely for weeks, if not months ahead.
Turning our focus to the Senators, they continue their road trip in Anaheim. DJ and the players notice, especially this week, with just so much negativity with the fan base, the media. They've been pushing positive messages despite the tough times. They like their underlying numbers. They've played well against some good teams, but ultimately not getting the result. From what you're seeing of this team, do you believe you're seeing a team that has the ability to get out of the funk?
I do believe they have the ability to do that, because there's enough high-end talent on that team. You know, of course, they're dealing with tough stuff with injuries, but Shabbat is right there in terms of coming back. Artem Zub comes back. We know that he's a good defenseman, but they still have areas that we know they have to address on that back end. Would it buy time for Pierre Dorion to continue to preach patience if they salted in some wins in the very near future? Yes, it would. It would. And that not only takes pressure off of the players, takes pressure off DJ, takes pressure off Pierre Dorion, and everybody associated with the club. You know, people fixate on coaching because that's the easiest piece to move. But I always say the same thing, Creech. You know, if you're firing a good coach like DJ Smith, who are you replacing him with? You know, if Barry Trotz isn't ready to come back yet, and he maybe doesn't want to coach in Ottawa, I don't know if he does or he doesn't, who are you replacing him with? You know, is Alain Vigneault going to stay on the sidelines forever? Is he in retirement mode? Is he an option? You know, again, those are the sort of wild speculations that lend itself when a team struggles. The players have taken accountability. DJ is doing his job in trying to keep the players as positive as he can. But everybody is accepting of has to be accepting responsibility for where this team is. And that includes the owners and that includes the general manager.
Hey, I know I've asked you in different ways throughout this week, but if the losses continue to pile up here, two more games left on this trip, are you getting a sense that any major change could be happening on the horizon here as the Sens return to Ottawa?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's that sense. But again, let's see what the goaltending looks like. That hasn't been very good, has it? Let's see defensively, not just the blue line, but as a group, whether or not there's more support from the forwards in playing a better defensive game. I think for the most part, this team has played pretty well. I mean, Smith keeps coming out after post games, even after losses, and saying that he liked the way they played. Well, that's good. That tells us that they're headed in the right direction. But this is a results-driven business. And we're at the American Thanksgiving weekend, and Ottawa is in a deep, deep hole. You continue to go deeper in that hole, forget about the playoffs. Forget about it. And then what do, right? So that's why there's a sense that, you know, change could be coming. But you got to be careful when you're firing a coach as well-liked as DJ Smith. And I'm not talking about well-liked by people in the hockey world. I mean, Brady Tkachuk came up and emotionally said, enough. Like, let's stop. This isn't a coaching issue. You know, let's stop being negative. Let's stop just, you know, the players need to focus. It's our job to execute. So you dismiss a coach like DJ Smith, then if you're not replacing with somebody that you know is better, who has proven that he is better, then that can turn on you in a hurry. So there's a lot going on around Ottawa, but a win or two might just kind of push it to the back burner for a stretch as well.
We'll end on a positive note. Jake Sanderson with his first NHL goal. I did it in front of his old man, too, the other night in Vegas. How bright does his future look, Dregs?
Oh, I mean, it's ridiculous. And I'm in the camp. You know, there are some who wonder, okay, well, can you continue to throw big minutes at this kid? Well, I say yes as long as he can handle the minutes. You know, you don't want to overload any defenseman, regardless of what their experience is. So the coaching staff in Ottawa and Jake Sanderson is trying to figure out what his comfort level is. You know, given what their blue line has looked like in recent history and what may look like moving forward unless the reinforcements brought in, he's going to have to shoulder a good chunk of the load. But it doesn't appear in any way, shape, or form that he's incapable or being overwhelmed. So I think that you just keep the line of communication wide open for Sanderson. You know, and I'm talking about the present now. I'm not even looking at the future. When you look into the future, all you see is a star defenseman. You know, he may not be as flashy or as dynamic as Cale Makar, but based on what we're seeing initially here, and I hate heaping expectation on a player like this, but it feels like it's earned already, Creech, based on what we see. We see the calmness. We see the poise. We see the hockey IQ. Again, maybe he's not going to be as dynamic as a Cale Makar, but I think he's very quickly going to be an elite-level defenseman.
Dregs, always appreciate your time and insight. Are you getting started on the ODR this weekend?
I'm not. You know what? This is a trial balloon that I floated out on social media. You know, we're just inside a month from Christmas Eve, obviously, and that's normally where I run the backyard rink gallery on my Twitter feed. But I just thought, you know, I know I watch Western Canada because I've got a place in Western Canada. So I know that they're up and running with the backyard rinks. I just thought it would be kind of cool to remind people of what's going on in other places in Canada. So I put out the trial balloon of the top, not top 10 in terms of the top 10 backyard rinks out there, just the ones that that catch my eye and attention. So I'm at pick six, I believe, on my Twitter account, and I'll wrap it up on 10 so that people don't get too snarly with all my alerts.
Nice. I liked. I've only seen two of them. I liked that one in Winnipeg. I think it was the first picture that you posted. That looked awesome.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, they're all great. Thanks, Creed.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Have a good one. There goes TSN NHL insider Darren Dreger. We'll take a break. CJ will join us next as the Sens pregame show continues on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Sens pregame show. Now it's time for Building the Future, a look at some of the prospects who hope to one day be Ottawa Senators. For the Foundation guys, here's Dean Brown.
The Senators drafted defenseman Theo Wahlberg 168th overall this year. 6'5", 200 pounds, still growing into his body. From Stockholm, Sweden, he played for the Swedish U19 national team before coming to North America this summer to start playing on North American ice in the North American game. Right now, he's playing for Dubuque in the USHL. 13 games so far, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points, and a plus 9. He leads all defensemen on his team in goals, and he leads the entire team in plus minus. And when this season ends, he is already committed next year to playing at the Ohio State. Theo Wahlberg, a future Senator.
This is Ottawa Senators Hockey on TSN 1200. You're joining the Sens pregame show roundtable, brought to you by Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved.
Welcome back to the Alpine Credits roundtable. I'm Graham Preach, and pleased to welcome into the show for a third time this week, Christopher John Stevenson. CJ, good afternoon. I think we've had 3 different time starts, too, through our time together. What, 3 o'clock today? I think we had it 1 o'clock last Saturday, and then we had the old 10:31 on Monday. How are you doing today?
Hello. Good, and looking forward to...
post-game beers?
A game... always. A game that... I was not the most optimistic person when it came to this season, and I thought, you know, talk of the Senators challenging for a playoff spot was a bit ambitious at the beginning of this year. And that said, I did think that, you know, they could be a 500 team this year and make a really solid start on becoming, a legit contender in the National Hockey League, a big step forward. But even if you shaded me on the side of the less enthusiastic observers of this team, I never would have thought that come us being on the brink of December, that they would be playing the Anaheim Ducks and the loser is going to be in last place in the National Hockey League. I did not see this coming, but here we are. They are playing today, 20 games into the season, to stay out of last place in the National Hockey League. I don't think anybody would have thought that this would have been possible this season.
That's the super disappointing, frustrating thing for the fan base is, like, I was optimistic. I thought they'd play meaningful games down the stretch. Like you, I thought they'd be somewhere in the 500, slightly above 500 range, but probably not playoffs, but optimistic. You never know. Maybe they find the defenseman and they get in. And if they're under 500, but close to it, okay. But to be out of it, like to be out of the playoff picture completely before December again, I didn't anticipate that. And that's what the disappointing thing is, because like I was having a conversation with some buddies today. Like, for you, how do you look at the rest of the season at this point? Like, have you already? What a great question! Like, have you started thinking about Bedard and the lottery?
Sure.
Or are you
absolutely?
You know what? 100%. Maybe they turn around and get some winning culture, get some fans feeling good. Like, even though like I believe playoffs are out of reach, I don't think it's a possibility. But if you turn around a little bit and have some good efforts, have some wins, get close to 500, then you can be happy. But I feel like just the reaction we're getting, like the reaction I got post game Wednesday, was half of it was about Bedard.
Right.
So how are you viewing the rest of this season?
It's interesting because there's so many different layers to it, right? And we start with the uncertainty over the ownership situation. We know they are going to be sold. And it certainly feels like whoever is going to come in and take over the team is going to be better positioned financially, probably than I was going to say almost any owner of the team so far. Maybe that wasn't the case. I mean, when Melnyk came in, he was riding high, right? I mean, he did spend to the cap, and you know, that was before things took a turn for the worst. So, you know, certainly the early years of the Melnyk ownership, they were probably, you know, pretty well financed. The next group coming in is for sure going to be well financed. That's my understanding of it right now, talking to a few people. So it certainly makes it feel like that the new ownership's going to have the ability to spend to the cap, and probably more importantly, have the money to build up the front office, because they've
that was my follow-up.
Yeah, they've basically operated on a cheap, bare bones operation here for feels like the better part of the last decade. So the ownership thing certainly casts a long shadow. That sounds negative. I think it's a positive thing.
Casts a long rainbow.
Sure.
Or something.
But at this point.
A sunset. Something nice. There's too much negativity. I'm not saying it's wrong.
A sunrise.
Sunrise. There we go.
At this point, we it's fun to speculate, right, on all the possible scenarios. And that's what we do, and that's what people like to do over beers when they're watching what's unfolding, because the projecting forward right now has become much more pleasurable for Senators fans than trying to digest what's going on in the present. So we don't know what's happening with the ownership situation and whether or not the pending change in ownership is going to affect the decisions of today for the current regime. But that doesn't mean we can't speculate. So what do you do from here on? If the options aren't there, you know, I don't think the general manager is going anywhere until new ownership is in place, if indeed that's what they decide to do. I don't think the coach is going to be at this point as bad as things get. That's the pressure point. But does the GM have the latitude to be able to do something with the coach? And we don't know the answer to that question. So
I did ask Darren Dreger earlier this week. I think it was Monday. Does the impending sale have any impact on the ability for Pierre Dorion to make a big trade or to make a coaching decision? And he said he didn't believe that it did.
Right.
For what that's worth.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's all what anybody is saying right now, guys, is this is what I believe. We haven't been given any kind of definitive position from the board in terms of what's going to happen. So now we are in that interesting speculation area where, you know what, they've been last. To me, I've said this to you the other day, a big trade to me is not going to shake up this team and all of a sudden make them a contender. That the problems with this team transcend one individual. Nobody's coming in and turning this team around. Nobody is coming in and turning this team around by themselves. To me, the problems with this team are structural, they're systemic, they're coaching for the most part. So now you get into the philosophical discussion. As we kicked off the show, never thought we were going to be here, but here we are. 20 games into the season, fighting to stay out of 32nd place in the National Hockey League. Again. So, with a prize like Connor Bedard at the end of your rainbow.
Sunrise.
Do you look at this season now? You're not making the playoffs. That's out the window
already.
It's not even December. And that's out the window. And if they wind up having some kind of crazy Hamburglar run, again, what we've seen is that those things aren't sustainable. They're fun for the time that they happen, and a couple of times there. So in 2015, there's the Hamburglar run. That was fun while it was lasted. Then we had the run in 2017. That was fun while it lasted. But those things weren't sustainable. So what are you trying to build here? Are you trying to build those little kind of catch lightning in a bottle every few years and go on a fun run and that's it? Or are you trying to build something that's going to be sustainable so that year after year, it's not a question about whether or not you're going to make the playoffs. It's how far you're going to go. And I do think they have the building blocks in place to be able to construct a team that would fit that description. I really do. Like, I think they've got players in place that if they're well managed and well coached, that this could be a perennial playoff team for whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So what do you do for this year? We don't know what's happening with the ownership and the ability of the general manager to make decisions. Whether or not the new ownership coming in is going to want the GM to make long-term decisions for this team. He might not be their guy. So right now, as we sit here, and they're fighting for last place, to stay out of last place, the ownership situation leading to a lot of uncertainty, my thing right now would be just ride it out. See what happens with the lottery now. And if, you know, I feel so bad for Senators fans that are going to be like, wait a minute, we're 20 games into the season, and you're saying for the next 60, we're going to get the same stuff? I think because of the circumstances right now with, again, the uncertainty of the ownership and everything else, I feel like that's the way I would go right now. I'm just going to let it ride. Let it ride. And I know that's not good news for Senators fans. It might not be good news for the bottom line, because after having some really, really encouraging crowds out for games, that if things continue to go for the next 60 games, like they have for the first 20, that could have a huge impact on attendance. But brighter days are ahead. There's new ownership coming. And it's not the new owners that'll be losing that money right now. They'll have to clean up the mess. But that's the way I'm feeling, is just like, let it ride. And it's awful, because the fans are going to have to put up with it. The players are going to have to unfortunately be in a position to put up with it.
That's where I was going next with you, is from your experience covering the league for so long, is there a concern about losing culture and just going for that?
What culture have you got now? Honestly, what culture do you have now? You lose for the last 4 years. And to hear people say that everybody's working hard, that's not an issue. What would this look like if players weren't working hard? If you've got everybody buying in and they're working hard and you're still in last place in the National Hockey League, I'm not worried about losing culture. Because what you've got right now is not working. And the other unfortunate part of all this, you've burned the last year of Stützle's entry-level deal. You're burning a year of Sanderson's entry-level deal. Pinto, all these guys that we've seen in the past, what you need to do, like Chicago did, is win when you've got those really, really good guys that are making a bit of money, but you needed to have two or three guys that were absolute keys to your team who were on entry-level contracts, which gave you the flexibility to be able to hang on to a couple of those other big stars because you had that flexibility of having two or three really key guys on entry-level contracts. And unfortunately, that's not going to be the situation here in Ottawa. You're going to have burned all that time of high draft picks with on entry-level deal. You've burned it up by and not being a contender. And maybe when we look back on this in a year or two time, that's going to be one of the biggest disappointments that's come out of what's happened here over the last few years. You never got to that point of being a contender where you could take advantage of a bunch of your good young players being on ELCs and still in their entry level contracts because they've frittered those opportunities away.
We'll take a break. Let things settle a little bit here. Take a twirl around the NHL. Hit on some out-of-town news and notes. And then coming up at 2, Gord Wilson will go one-on-one with head coach DJ Smith. We'll see if there's any lineup news to pass along from the head coach. Thomas Chabot sounds like he's going to take warm-up, so hopefully he's good to go. What would you do if he is good to go? Who do you take out of the lineup? We'll get to those questions and more. But up next, it's the TSN 1200 St. Hubert Barbecue Out-of-Town Scoreboard and more roundtable discussion as the Sens pregame show continues on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Ottawa Senators pregame show continues on TSN 1200. Here's the Out-of-Town Scoreboard brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue, chicken, ribs, and hockey.
It was a 14-game schedule today in the NHL, but Preds Avalanche postponed due to a broken water main in Nashville. So down to 13 games, but I love a loaded scoreboard, and I love when there's scores to pass along during an afternoon broadcast. 2-0 Hurricanes over the Bruins after one period of play. Former Senator, briefly, Stefan Nason with one of the Canes goals. Another part of that Bobby Ryan trade we'll see in action today in Jake Silverberg. The Canadiens and Blackhawks hook up in Chicago at 2 o'clock. Maple Leafs from Minnesota against the Wild also at 2. Same with the Flames and Caps from D.C. All those 2 o'clock starts. Lots of afternoon tilts with the holiday south of the border. 3 o'clock, as you know, Ducks and Senators. 5:30, Flyers, Penguins hook up from Philly. Kraken, 11-5-3 on the year in the desert to take on Vegas. The Red Wings and Coyotes from Detroit at 8. Islanders visit the Jackets. Sabres hosting the Devils. New Jersey looking to start a new winning streak after Toronto snapped their 13-gamer the other night. Lightning and Blues from Tampa. The Jets visit the Stars at 8:30. At 10:30, it's the Kings and Sharks from the Tank. To the World Cup of Soccer, where the big one's coming up momentarily. We'll have that on in-studio, Chris Stevenson. But earlier today, Iran defeats Wales 2-0. Senegal with a 3-1 win over Qatar. Qatar's officially been eliminated from the group stage. Ecuador, Netherlands draw 1-1. And coming up at 2 o'clock, United States, England. That should be awesome. That does it for the Out-of-Town Scoreboard. CJ, only a couple minutes here, but I did want to give you an opportunity to touch on the passing of Boreas Salming, just what he meant to you, his career as a player, as a person. Hall of Fame defenseman passes away at the age of 31. I thought it was awesome that it was sad because of obviously the state of his health, but nice to have the send-off for the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame game, the fact that three Swedes entered, and obviously Toronto Maple Leafs involved every year, but his team. So nice. From that perspective, but just thoughts on what he means to you.
The thing that stands out for me, you know, watching hockey as a kid back then was the novelty of seeing a European player in the National Hockey League, because if you can believe it, there was a time when it wasn't common, and just the abuse that he took. And kept coming back. Like, I can remember those games against the Flyers where they would go after Salming And it was like, you know, back in the day when people who watch the game today would be appalled. It was absolutely vicious stuff. And I was always so impressed with the fact that, you know, he never bowed, never cowered, he never backed down. And he just kept coming back. And I was so impressed with that. I had so much, you know, even though I was growing up in Montreal and he played for the Leafs, I had so much respect for the way that he played. And, you know, I think that's the thing that stands out for me, that as is often the case with pioneers, when people take a road that hadn't been traveled before, he paid the price to kick down the door for other European players and make it possible for, you know, Anders Hedberg and Ulf Nilsson and all those guys to come over in those early days with the WHA as well. And, you know, just respect, I think, is the thing that stands out the most, just for what he had to endure as one of the first Europeans to come over and play. And, you know, you think of the legacy now and the impact that he wound up having in terms of how he helped change the face of the National Hockey League.
To the present day Maple Leafs, they've certainly turned things around a little bit since their slowish start to the season. I was never concerned about them regular season wise. I always thought that they would turn it around and have a good regular season for sure. Mitch Marner on a league high 14 game point streak. They snapped New Jersey's 13 game win streak. Matt Murray's played solid since returning to health. Just thoughts on Matt Murray, the Maple Leafs, as you see them right now.
You know, a team that's kind of had the same questions over it that we talk about every day with the Senators, right? Hugely talented forward group, questions on the blue line, and for all of the injuries that they've faced on the blue line, that they have in fact been able to find a way to play tighter defensively. If you look at the numbers, they're a much better defensive team than they have been. And to me, again, that speaks to coaching approach. So for people saying, well, you throw up your hands because you run into a bunch of injuries, watching a bunch of the Leafs games, and particularly watching Austin Matthews, how can you not? And Marner, been really impressed with their buy-in to play defensively. Like there's been a bunch of times I've seen Matthews all the way back in the deep slot defending, Marner working to get pucks back. So to throw up your hands because you run into a few injuries on your blue line, and they've had more than their share, to throw up your hands and say, well, what are you going to do? Maybe we should make a trade. I mean, the Leafs have been finding a way. And I know their record's not exactly where they would like it to be, but they've kept their heads above water and left themselves in a position where they can build on this, and their season hasn't been sunk by a few injuries.
Everyone deals with them, some in different ways. We'll take a break. We'll get right back into the Senators' discussion with the color voice of the Ottawa Senators, Gord Dirk Wilson, who I'm sure is having a great time in Southern California, despite the Sens' struggles so far. Gord joins us next. He'll talk to the head coach as well. You're listening to Ottawa Senators Hockey on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
Now the TSN 1200 pregame show takes you behind the bench for Lone Star Texas Grill with Sens head coach DJ Smith.
All right, Coach, road trip continuing today in Anaheim, an afternoon tilt. We'll get some thoughts on the Ducks in just a second here. Let's just very quickly revisit the Vegas game. Obviously disappointed with the end result, but there was, and I know it's little consolation, lots to like about that game from your team's perspective.
Yeah, there is. Great effort. Everything we asked them to do, they did. Just didn't get the result. Didn't win. You know, special teams are even. 5-on-5, we outchance them marginally. against a really good team, and that's all you could ask. And at the end of the day, we don't win. It's unfortunate, but I thought there was a lot of good efforts, and we played as hard as we could play.
You said yesterday on American Thanksgiving that you're taking a look at this as positive as you possibly can, and part of it is being thankful for what these guys do have.
Well, we're the luckiest people in the world to get to, one, do exactly what we want to do, and these guys clearly have great lives, and myself as well. And we're in a privileged spot where we get to do this every day. And, you know, it's sometimes I think you lose sight of that, you know, when you're not playing great or you're not winning games and you think the world is crashing in on you and you think how hard it is. You got to be really thankful for what we really have. And really that goes down, you know, takes you back. And you realize there's people that have it really tough out there, and we're not one of them.
You had mentioned earlier in the week that you want your players to focus on the process and not the end result. Did you get some of that against Vegas?
100%. The effort was there. Everything that we wanted to do was there. We just didn't get the result. It's 1-1. We have a little mistake. It ends up in the back of the net. And then you're chasing the game. You know, we had a breakaway that could have made it 2-1 us. They make the save. It didn't happen. You know, you keep doing it, it will happen.
Three straight games with just one goal scored here. You're asking for a little bit more offensively.
Yeah. You know what? I think we got to get to the net more. I think we got to bear down hitting the net. You know, I didn't foresee goal scoring being our issue. Clearly, with Shabbat and Norris out, we knew that there'd be some offense drop off, but I didn't think, you know, like this. But I think it's short term. I think if you look at the expected goals that we're generating, it's there. It just hasn't gone in.
Jake Sanderson got one in, and boy, did that lift the bench. There was an awful lot to be positive about this young man, deserving of it, and you said post-game, be the first of many.
Oh, I mean, his attention to detail and his ability to learn on the fly is incredible. He's going to be a really good player and defenseman for a long time. And offense will be part of it, but I think the thing that he excels at the most is defensively. And I think the offense will be complementary to it, you know, and you're looking at a guy that's going to be a rock-solid player for years to come.
Coach, what will you get from the Anaheim Ducks today?
Well, they're a team that has some high-end offensive guys, and then they've got some workers underneath them. You know, their back end with Klenberg and Fowler and Shattenkirk. They got guys that can make plays, and they got John Gibson in it. They just come out beating the Rangers, and like I've said so many times, anybody can beat anyone in this league. They're not going to be an easy feat. You know, so we just got to worry about our game. And in my opinion, we got to outcheck them.
Okay. It's an afternoon tilt, which means any changes to your roster will be announced at game time. Thank you for this, Coach, and best of luck today.
Perfect. Thanks, Gord.
The Ottawa Senators pregame show continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Alpine Credits Roundtable. I'm Graham Creech with Chris Stevenson at 87 George Street in the Byward Market. Matt Conisvita producing today. And please to go to the pond in Anaheim, California. Gord, Weapon Wilson, how are you today?
Well, I got up early this morning, Graham, and it wasn't to be mediocre. I'm absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Ready to go. Love the afternoon tilts, no matter how early they are and how early I have to get up. But, yeah, this should be a fun one here. Should be interesting, to say the least. There are some interesting, I think, one of our segments coming up in the next hour is our view from the broadcast booth, and I think Dean's going to have maybe some interesting observations. The afternoon tilts here, when you've got guys who are on the bubble as far as the lineup is concerned, it's game-time decision, right?
Yeah.
So when Dean comes on, he's going to have those game-time decisions, I'm guessing. It's likely Thomas Chabot's going to take the warm-up, and then it's a GTG after that, right? Good to go or not good to go, and we'll find out about that probably right after warm-up. And the Senators could use him. I just did some number crunching. I actually did it yesterday, and if I can ramble here for a second, and good afternoon, Chris. Great to have you with us. the Senators haven't had Artem Zub and Thomas Chabot together since the 27th of October, and over the stretch they have gone 2-9-1, 2-9-1 basically. And if Chabot is in today, he'll probably get paired up with Artem Zub, so it'll be a huge plus if they can rekindle the chemistry that they had. Senators were 4-3 at the time of Zub's injury, And then Thomas Chabot's missed the last five games. Zub's been back, but not playing with his regular partner in Chabot. So if these two can get together again, it will give this team a huge boost defensively. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Gord, do you have a feel, if he does get in, do you have a feel for who might come out? And I ask because I thought the start of the Vegas game, I thought Lassie Thompson was very good. And then he got burnt twice. One of them, I do feel that his partner put him in a tough spot, but he also did get dragged there. And then that was the 2-1 goal, the 3-1 goal. He anticipated a player going to the corner, and that player was William Karlsson, and he didn't go to the corner and unleashed it back in. So tough two goals there, and he didn't see a ton of ice after that. But I thought he started well. So is this a scenario where you put him in and you give him a long look to see, or does he come out? Like, what's your feeling if Chabot's good to go?
I think he plays. I think it was a very difficult situation for Lassie Thompson, and I'll wholeheartedly agree. I thought his game was good. In general, overall, and you take away the dash two and the two goals that he was on the ice for, because there were other mistakes made leading up to those goals. Parker Kelly didn't do his job on the Delorier goal that essentially was split between the two defensemen in Thompson and Nick Holden. So that there was a mistake made even well before that goal. You could argue that maybe Cam Talbot could have made that save on William Karlsson, and it wasn't made. And I think the general feeling about Lassie Thompson was he comes away with 12 minutes and 29 seconds worth of time on ice against Vegas after landing in Vegas the night before, getting very little sleep, quick turnaround, lots of adrenaline going through his veins. He performed very well and performed well enough to be deserving of another start. And he'll get the chance, not start, but he'll get the opportunity, I would think, to be in the lineup here this afternoon. I'd be very surprised if he's not. Long way to come to play 12 minutes and then take him out. And he was playing very well, we're told, the four games prior to the recall in Belleville. So maybe he's got some confidence on his side. He probably feels pretty good about his game against Vegas. So I as to who comes out, my guess would be Nick Holden. But again, we'll have to wait and see. I'm guessing Nick will be in the warm-ups as well.
Talking about those goals, doesn't that kind of sum up what's been happening with these guys? Is like one person makes a mistake and then it just keeps getting compounded, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's you look at good teams and everybody's going to have errors in judgment in the course of a game, but the good teams find a way to kind of have that second layer of protection. And I think that's really been a problem for the Senators a bunch of times. Is we've talked about the big mistakes at critical points in games, and that's true. But I think there's just so many times where they put themselves in bad positions because one guy makes a mistake and that's going to happen.
100%.
But there's not, like, there's no safety net there for the player, and then it just keeps getting worse and worse. And to me, is that where something that needs to improve to make this team a little bit more competitive? It's just that kind of having your teammates back?
Two things to me come to mind when you're talking about a safety net. And the first is experience, okay? If you've got an experienced defenseman back there that has gone through that role before or gone through that experience before, maybe it's handled a little bit differently. And experience is number one. And number two is goaltending, which can mask all kinds of problems, all kinds of mistakes. And they didn't get a save on that particular play. Mm-hmm. At the other end of the ice, the Vegas Golden Knights made some mistakes. But guess who? Logan Thompson came up with some pretty good saves and kept his team where they needed to be kept. And to me, that's a simple answer here, Chris. But again, it takes time. In 3 years, Lassie Thompson's going to have 200 games under his belt. And, there might be 15 to 20 times where that same play occurs and he's better prepared for it. And again, you know what? There might be a goaltender who's got, three Vezina trophies under his belt who's in the nets and, and it doesn't happen, the goal doesn't count. And it was William Carrier, not that, by the way, Carrier, yeah. by the way, not yeah. Nick DeLaurier, as I said. Sorry about that. They look the same, don't they? Same kind of build, same side of, same kind of style as well.
We have to see, Carrier's got the better hands right now.
Well, 100%, six goals. Now he's got seven on the year, for heaven's sakes, and three in his last four periods of hockey. But that to me would be an easy answer, or a simple answer, Chris, to your question. The safety net issue is one of experience that gets bigger and stronger. That safety net gets bigger and stronger with every game played by this young group of players. And then goaltending, and I hate to put it all on goaltending, but boy, it can mask an awful lot of problems.
Do you think maybe Gord, I agree with you, and there's so much that we need to see from this group, but maybe a goaltender steals one. But now that Talbot's getting another start, he obviously didn't look good against San Jose, gets a start against Vegas, maybe because Forsberg is injured, he gets a start again. Is this something that could get him on a roll rather than just flip-flopping starts between the two netminders until somebody starts taking the net over?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I know Anton Forsberg's got a minor injury that's warranted the recall of Kevin Mandolese, and I'm assuming that Mandolese will back up here today, and Forsberg not good to go. So even if he was good to go, I would have certainly started Cam Talbot. He played well enough against Vegas to get a second start in a row, and this will happen to be his third start. He did get yanked against San Jose, and for good reason. He wasn't very good. I think they have to find somebody and give the guy the opportunity to run with it. We've seen, in my opinion again here, guys, too many bad goals against this season. Not just in one or two games, but there have been a number of games here where there's been at least one questionable goal. And obviously, when you've got a 6-12-1 record, there's lots of mistakes being made and spread out throughout the lineup. But as I said earlier, a goaltender can mask a lot of the problems. And right now, certainly in the last 10 games or so, they have not received the goaltending that they need to hide more problems than they need to.
So I guess my takeaway from all this then is that one mistake gets made, teammates don't cover up, goalie gets on the hot seat, he doesn't mm-hmm. make the save. So basically everybody has to be better.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, exactly. And at this point, you know, this team has shown in short spurts that it can be better than the opposition. It's a matter of putting it all together, getting everybody on the same page. And this is why I think, Chris, and boy, you were around every day when you heard Jacques Martin in the early days talk about the process. This is all about the process. Do not worry about end results. I think because of all the hype that this team received in the offseason, they were thinking results well before the actual process takes place, integrating Claude Giroux into the lineup, integrating Alex DeBrincat into the lineup, elevating Tim Stützle into a top number one role at center ice, bringing in Derek Brassard, Matthew Joseph with a big contract. I mean, the list goes on and on. Tyler Mott's a new guy. The list goes on and on here about how much things have to be moving in the right direction to go in the right direction, or moving in the same direction to go in the right direction. We've seen it in spurts, no question about that, but it's going to take a lot of time here. And I was like you at the beginning of the season here, 27 points out of a playoff spot. My hopes were that they would compete on a nightly basis, which for the most part they have. I didn't think they'd be where they are right now, but I certainly didn't think that they would be in a playoff position right now either, when this season, or just before this season started. Still a long way to go.
I'll get you to weigh in on the morale in a second, Gord, but I'll begin with CJ on just fragile groups. I believe they look fragile, especially on the ice. The moment one thing goes wrong, it seems like they have a hard time kind of spiraling rather than getting out of that funk. From your experience covering the NHL for as long as you have, how tough is it to get out of that mindset in game? Like, can you just go and have a strong game and then kind of get out of it? Because you saw that against San Jose. I thought they had a tremendous first period.
Tremendous.
They were awful in the second period. They didn't get great goaltending.
Well, there you go.
But,
there you go, right?
But you, and so one thing happens.
A minute in, 18 in. Well, you know what? When it happens consistently, you go from being positive about your game and confident about your game to, oh, no, here we go again. You know, 78 seconds into the second period, after the Senators started the period with a power play, they get scored on, and they're chasing the game. And then all of a sudden, they make another mistake, and they're chasing the game even more, and it's almost, at that point, out of reach. And I think, you know, when you're sitting on the bench, you're thinking, it's hard to overcome the thought of, here we go again. And I think, and now you're thinking about the end result instead of chipping away, going through the process. Just simply do your job. Outwork the competition. Win those 50-50 battles. Get the job done. Simple as that. It sounds so simple, but the other team has the momentum and doesn't want to give it up either, right? So it's a catch-22 situation, but it's interesting that you bring this up, Graham, because I talked about this with Cam Talbot after practice day before yesterday, or after the game in Vegas, and asked him about the maturity level, and he said, I think we saw a sign of maturity against Vegas. They lost 4-1, but they weren't blown out. They generated momentum after getting scored on. They couldn't score, and I think the fact that they were able to generate momentum is a little bit of enough to get them feeling good about their game. And I think we saw more consistent play offensively from the Senators. It's tough. And I talked to Alex DeBrincat about this yesterday, and obviously, you know, he's 5'8". He's playing against 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6" defensemen against the Vegas Golden Knights, who, as we all know, under Bruce Cassidy's system, they protect the front of the net. We witnessed it in Boston for 6 years. We're witnessing it again this year. They protect the front of the net so bad, or so hard, and so good, not bad, but so good, and it's extremely difficult to even get a look at the net. So for Ottawa, and I think the first game they lost to Vegas, they had 40-plus shots. I think they were 39 shots the other day. That's a huge plus, and it's a confidence booster that they're able to generate those kinds of chances, and I think, and then look, I know people are, you're looking at small victories here in a loss, and I know what the old expression is here. Show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser, right? And it's unfortunate. But in this game, you have to take small victories with you into the next battle. And I think there were a lot of small victories. Even though the 4-1 loss still is a 4-1 loss, there were victories that they could have taken from that game against Vegas and apply them to today's game.
And isn't that, you know, so often the case? And I think you talk about small victories. I think that's part of the approach that you need to take at this point. And that's just breaking it down to let's win this shift. Like, let's... And to me, it's not even like scoring at this point. Like, let's not get scored on our first shift.
50,
next guy's going
battles.
Out, let's not get scored on. Let's not get scored on. Let's build on it. Let's get some momentum. But err on the side of making the play that's going to make it more difficult for the opposition to score a goal. And that's something that I'll keep going back to again and again. Is for me, there's way too many times where they don't make the other team earn their chances.
Right.
They give them easy chances.
Yeah.
And mentally, that would be the approach that I would be taking with this group now is let's not give up any easy chances on that first shift or the second. And let's just try and get that momentum going. And if we come out of the first period on the road, even against Anaheim scoreless, you want to talk about your small victories? I would look at that as a small victory.
100%, Chris. And it sounds very simple, but it's a fact here. It really is a fact that you just have to – and look at 6-12-1 with the expectations not just the fans had, but the players had in themselves at 6-12-1, they're not thinking about there's more negative thought that they're trying to get rid of than there is positive. So when you do win a period, you're stressing it. And it's interesting that you say, for, you know, shift by shift by shift. First couple of years of DJ's tenure here, when dealing with a lot of young players, his message was, get to the first TV timeout. We need to breathe here. When they were up against powerhouse teams, and over the last couple of years, they've started to close the gap on those powerhouse teams, but it hasn't been until recently where DJ has reminded them to get to the first TV timeout. Get the job done in the first 4.5 minutes. The last thing we want to do is chase the game. Get to that first TV timeout. We'll regroup. We'll inhale a little bit more if we're playing very well, and we'll continue on that path. Pretty simple formula when you think about it. And sometimes the most difficult things to understand are the simplest.
CJ, part of the reason they find themselves chasing games is they haven't been scoring goals lately. Would you change anything about the top six right now? Like, of course, lots has been made of DeBrincat and his 5 goals on the year. Would you give him another look with Tim Stützle? And maybe he needs that playmaker to start generating. Like, is there something? Like, could you throw everything in the blender right now? Would you keep going? Would you give Shane Pinto a long look as possible in that second spot? Like, is there anything that you do differently right now to try to generate some offense?
I think everything's on the table at this point. Of course you would like to see more patience, right? That if you're going to keep shuffling things around, that you would like to give guys a series of shifts to try and for all of them to get on the same page and figure out what they're doing. But on the flip side of that, with the circumstances, the dire circumstances that this team faces, and I'm sure the coaching staff feels like, you know, they're on the verge of getting fired here, or at least the potential is there. DJ said as much by saying, you know, I know my job is to win games, and that's not happening. So I also understand that when you try things for a while and they don't work, that urgency to try and shuffle things around to see if you can light a fire or find something that's going to work for you for that game, for that period. Ultimately, you would like to see the combination stay together to see if they could build some chemistry. But I also understand, and that's, you know, part of the misery of this situation with the coaching staff is that luxury of being able to be patient and maybe give some combinations an opportunity to grow. It's just not there, and that's, you know, another layer of, like I said, the frustration that has to exist for this team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Gord, CJ just mentioned part of his answer there about the coaching staff realizing where they're at right now and that they could potentially be losing their jobs. Like, return home with no wins on this trip. They know what's going on. It must be tough. And I know fans are, every time the audio is posted from our account or from the Senators' account, it's just everyone attacking the coach for the message about, oh, well, we played well and we just didn't win, or our underlying numbers are good, etc. And like, and I'm not saying, well, the fans are wrong to do that, but
they're within their right for sure.
But how is DJ and how is everyone handling? Like, what's the morale like right now, knowing that is the situation, and what message is supposed to be delivered every day when they're asked these questions?
Well, don't get me wrong when I say morale is okay and morale is good with the team. It is good, but don't take that the wrong way. These guys are ultimate professionals and ultimate competitors, and they cannot stand the thought of being 6-12-1 right now, okay? But at the same time, they also know that they have to stick together. They have to dwell on positivity. They have to they still enjoy coming to the rink, and I've been around teams where the players just didn't want to come to the rink. They just did. It wasn't fun. It wasn't a good environment to be there. The coaching staff has done a terrific job of keeping this this work environment just that, work, but at the same time, come and enjoy yourselves. Be the family that we're supposed to be, and get the job done. So it's imperative that that stays the way it is or stays status quo. And I don't think I haven't noticed anything different. You know, we did our scrums outside the Ottawa locker room yesterday for the optional skate, and there were players having an absolute blast with a football, okay, a simple football. And the chirping that was going, I mean, this is all part of it, right? But don't think that just because they're having fun off the ice doesn't mean that they're wallowing in self-pity, or they should be wallowing in self-pity, because the record 6-12-1, totally counterproductive, totally counterproductive. And I can guarantee, and I think I can speak for on behalf of probably 32 head coaches in the NHL, maybe 29, 30 head coaches, there's not one of them that's going to throw a player under the bus in a media scrum after a 4-1 loss or a 7-game losing streak. I honestly don't
Unless
think
you're
that. Torch. Well, okay, there's the one, right?
Yeah.
And I traveled down the road in San Jose post-game with the hint that, well, not even a hint, you needed some saves, coach. I think one of my questions was, you know, you didn't get the saves when you needed them. And there was no, no, you're right, Gord. Cam Talbot was not very good, and he needed to be hooked, given the hook. There was nothing like that. It was that's just the way most coaches are wired, and I can tell you that's the way DJ's wired. So if people are looking for a post-game comment of the coach saying, these guys suck today, you got the wrong coach. He's not going to say that.
He said that yesterday too, right? That he's not going to do that.
No, right. And he'll take it on himself here, and it's up to him to get this team going and winning some hockey games.
And he didn't even need to say it. He's a player's coach. He's described by many like that. He's not going to throw his guys under the bus, but I know fans are obviously getting impatient. We'll take a break. Everyone's impatient.
Oh, by the way,
yes?
Yep, just a quick update. 0-0, England and the United States World Cup of Soccer. We've got it on the big screen here at the Honda Center.
I was going to ask you about that next, so I will follow up with
oh,
you.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh, God,
I can still, my question is still valid. I will ask you in a moment
okay.
As the Sens pregame show continues in a moment on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Ottawa Senators pregame show continues on TSN 1200. And now it's 2 Minutes With, presented by Bingoland Gaming Center.
2 Minutes With Thomas Shiba. All right, number one, some of the nicknames you've had and the nickname that you prefer.
I've had a lot. I mean, just with my name, Tom, Shabby, Shabs, Sham, Hot Sam Batchel. I've had pretty much all those, and gotta go, I think obviously the classic one is always Shabby, but I thought the Hot Sam Batchel was a pretty good one.
It is good. It is an original. Suit and tie for games. Like it, hate it, don't care.
I like it. I think I like it. Obviously, you be nice to be able to show your kind of like off ice style a little bit more. But I mean, I've always liked it. I like dressing. It looks professional. It makes you kind of feel ready coming into the rink.
What's something you wish you were better at, and not hockey, or not your backhand or anything? Like, what's something in life that you wish you were better at?
Well, probably golf. Or in life, you mean?
Can be golf, can be.
Yeah, let's go with sports. Just keep it sports. Probably golf. And then life, maybe a bit more patient.
Oh, very mature. I'm not sure you would have had that answer 5 years ago.
No.
Do you play a musical instrument? And if you don't, what would you like to be able to play?
I don't. And I really, really, really wish I could play the piano. Really did.
You're going to have time at some point. You can take that up. Small and sporty, big four-wheel drive, low and luxurious. What type of vehicle does Thomas Chabot like? I already know the answer to this, but you have to answer.
Yeah, to be honest, it's kind of, right now I'm more in the SUVs. Obviously with the winter, bigger cars, which are nice, but I mean, you can't say no to a nice sports car either.
I know how you're leaning there.
Yeah.
I know. Not good for carrying the dog, but oh,
yeah.
I just foretold of one of the questions here. I will pretend I didn't say that.
Yeah.
How many entire songs can you sing?
Wow, entire?
Whole
you
thing.
Know, the whole thing? Probably Follow Me by Uncle Cracker, then probably maybe one or two like pop rap song. Not that many, but I know a lot of little parts of kind of each song. When guys play songs in the room, you kind of know some parts, and I've always liked music, so I know quite a lot on a lot of songs, but probably two or three full songs, I'd say.
Plus the anthem, that makes it four.
Yeah.
Who yelled at you the most growing up? Your mother, father, sister, brother, or other?
Yell at me, probably my dad. Dad's a teacher, and it was always about doing the homeworks that I didn't want to do. Brother didn't really yell at me. He did a little bit, but probably beat me up more than yelling at me. So I'll keep it at that. My mom was always the one on my side.
I know the answer to this one, but you have to say, what kind of pet do you have, or what kind of pet would you want? I would imagine the one you want is the one you have, and it's beautiful. See at the dog park, that's beautiful.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. A golden retriever is best thing I've ever had in my life. I mean, it's just awesome to have him around. You come at home, and whether you had 2 points or you had -4, he thinks you're the best human being on earth. So no, he's been awesome. Golden retrievers are the best.
Yeah, they're very, very close to Newfoundlands. Very close. Close second.
Yeah.
And finally, the best vacation you've ever had, where'd you go? What'd you do?
Best vacation, I'd go with Italy. I did everything but Milan and the south. So pretty much Rome, the Amalfi Coast and all that. So that was awesome. The food was amazing. The weather was amazing. The things you see just on the coast with the ocean and everything, it's so beautiful. You see pictures and it looks great, and then you get there in person, it's almost even better. I'd go with this one right now. Yeah, France I did, Paris and Bordeaux, which was a bit different, but I mean it was awesome as well.
Thanks for this.
Thank you.
2 minutes with Thomas Chabot.
This is Ottawa Senators Hockey on TSN 1200 and stations across our radio network. You're joining the Sens pregame show roundtable, brought to you by Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Alpine Credits Roundtable. I'm Graham Preach with Chris Stevenson as the Sens face the Ducks at the Pond on Black Friday in the United States. And we're pleased to welcome everyone along the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators radio network, including Lake 88 Perth, News Talk 1290 CJBK in London, Sirius XM NHL Radio, TSN1200.ca, and Sens fans around the world streaming through the iHeartRadio app, and everyone listening on our flagship station right here in Ottawa, Sports Radio TSN 1200. Before we get to Creech for the Top, I'll ask Gord, I know that you're watching it on the big screen at the pond.
Oh, it's off now, but yes.
Oh, it's off because of warm-up. So I was going to ask, how many people came early? Like, were there a lot of fans in the stands watching that?
No,
okay.
No, there weren't. Yeah, sorry. That's the long and the short of it. Yeah, no,
I understand completely.
Yeah, I'll ask you on in our booth here right now in the 35th minute. So 0-0 still. Yeah, and I can tell you I'll give you a quick preview of the view from the broadcast booth. Somebody other than John Gibson led the Anaheim Ducks out for warm up, and Thomas Chabot is out in the ice without a helmet, so he's taking warm up. Dean will have more.
Without a helmet.
And wasn't that one of the great nicknames?
Hot Sambacho.
on the Amalfi Coast, I could see him eating a calzone. Hot Sambacho eating a calzone on the Amalfi Coast. One of his great vacations. And I think that 2 minutes with was maybe a little bit longer than 2 minutes.
They're not the AJ 2 minutes with. I know that for a fact. But they do
fantastic.
Extend a little bit past.
It was good stuff.
Oh, yes.
Two minutes U.S.
Yeah.
In the
okay.
All right. Let's begin with Creech for the Top. And actually, keep playing the music, Matt. But I am going to ask a question before the question's scored. I know yesterday, lots of football, obviously, in the NFL. As Thanksgiving arrives in the United States, I know Jerry Jones put on a fantastic dinner for everyone in Dallas. What am I talking about here? I got to ask, is there turducken on the menu at the Honda Center?
No, I don't. Good question. I would think that there probably is. Yes, I haven't been out in the concourse, but I was hoping for a good calzone up here in the press box. I think they do something like that. It would make sense, wouldn't it, the turducken? I know there were several thousand people in the parking lot yesterday as the Ducks put on their own Thanksgiving giveaway meal, which was quite nice to see, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Creech for the Top. Question number one, Chris Stevenson. What is keeping you positive about the Senators? Is it A, Jake Sanderson, B, Connor Bedard, C, the sale of the club, or D, the underlying numbers?
You're assuming that I'm positive about any of these things.
I there's got to be at least
the question
one.
Is like, what are you least negative about?
Yeah, Haterade. Drink more of it.
He did a keg stand of Haterade in our first segment.
I'm neither here nor there. Why don't we call them overline? The overlying numbers are more important than the underlying numbers right now, and that's not enough wins, but whatever. I'm gonna say the thing that interests me the most that the Senators right now is the pending sale of the club. And what that could mean for the long-term future of the team, which I think is going to be very positive. So I would say right now that's the most intriguing thing and has got me the most interested in this team right now is the pending sale.
Dirk.
I am going to go with Jake Sanderson. Nice. And from early September, when we got an opportunity to see him in the first training camp game, exhibition game in Toronto, I can remember like it was yesterday the conversation I had with DJ Smith talking about Sanderson and anxious to see him in game 41 halfway through this season. Well, he's 20 games in, 19 games in. He's just piqued everybody's interest, and for good reason here. He just gets better with every game, and he is a very, very popular player in the locker room, and that's tough sometimes for young 20-year-olds, but he is so calm and poised and mature and still having a lot of fun. I am anxious to just keep an eye on Jake Sanderson and his career.
Nice answer, Gord. Jake Sanderson, he's been incredible. I mean, I'm going with sale the club because I think it just brings positive vibes and energy and stability top to bottom in the organization, which, let's be honest, for right now, for the Sens and Sens fans, there's not a lot of positivity. When that eventually goes through, the eventual relation to LeBret and Flats and just the stability top to bottom of the future of this club and what it'll mean going forward for playing meaningful hockey games, I think that's pretty exciting right now. Question number two. Gord Wilson, with Jake Sanderson scoring his first goal against Vegas, which Senator that has a donut is most likely to tickle twine in Anaheim?
Mm-hmm.
Erik Brännström, who's on zero goals. Parker Kelly, who had a shorthanded 2-1-0 the other night in Vegas, didn't convert. Is it Lassie Thompson, or is it Cam Talbot?
Well, I think the Senators have scored 4 empty net goals, if I'm not mistaken, this year. They've given up 8. so there's a chance. Are you going with me first? Am I
yes,
jumping
yeah.
in here? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'll eliminate Cam for good reason. I am going to go with Erik Brännström.
Wow.
And I, on yeah, 94 games now without a goal. Okay, going back to last year. I thought he was going to get one in Vegas the other night. And talked about it on the broadcast. I thought he had his opportunity, and I actually spoke to him after practice yesterday and said the same thing. Said there's a possibility that, or I thought that you were going to get one, and he said, so did I. And he was very excited about the thought of somebody else thinking the same thing. So I'm going to go with Erik Brännström. He'll be the first of the group that you've just mentioned to tickle twine.
Nice. I did not think you were going to pick number A, so I love the surprise. Chris Stevenson.
How many games without a goal for Brännström?
94.
I'm going to let that sit there for a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Parker Kelly. That he is going to... wasn't very encouraging the other night, but is he getting his chance? He got a chance. So I'm gonna go with that. That Parker Kelly has got a chance.
Okay.
Didn't do anything with it, but the chances are coming, right?
No, Gord, you don't get worried.
You don't get worried if you're getting the chances, right? It's when you're not getting the chances. You know that they're gonna go in.
No, you're misphrasing this here. It's not plural. Okay. It's a singular chance that he's had in the last little while.
Well, so, I just don't like to agree, so I'm going with Parker Kelly.
Oh, that's fine. All right.
Gord,
how many games without a goal for Brännström again?
For Brandstrom, 94.
The offensive defenseman?
For Parker Kelly, 21. Okay, let's go to question three.
No, I got to answer question two.
Sorry.
And
yep.
I'm going to need you to help me out here. A little peek sneak. Is Lassie Thompson looking like he's playing today?
Peek sneak or a sneak peek, one of the two. I'll go with Lassie is going to play today.
Okay, I'm picking Lassie then. If he wasn't, I was going Cam Talbot. I'll pick Lassie Thompson. I like the way that Lassie jumped up before when he was looking pretty good. That's one of the things he did. He was jumping up, and he's got a cannon as well from that point. Let's go with Lassie Thompson.
Snapping the puck there against Vegas.
How about two games in a row, first career goals for some maybe future Senators defensemen here?
Yep.
Question number three. I asked this similar question to Shooter and Dino Wednesday, but the guys on the morning show used it for their web poll, and you guys weren't a part of the show on Wednesday, so I'm going to ask it now. Will we see any significant change with the Senators next week? A, yes. B, no. C, no. Fall hard for Bedard. CJ.
Well, I'm going to go with B, no. And that doesn't mean that it can't be associated with C.
Very
with
negative.
Nothing happening. And falling hard for Bedard is being a consequence of not taking any actions. But I can't see anything happening right now. So I'm going to go with B, no.
Weapon.
I'm going with A, yes. I think something, and it depends on your definition of significant, right? But I think within 5 days, and it's December 1st coming up in 5 days, 6 days from now, because it's November 25th right now, and there are only 30 days in November. They have to get Alex Formanton, something done with Alex Formanton. And I think something will be done before the 1st of December, which will fall in your category of the next week.
Hey, just to clarify, it's the morning show's category. It's always open for interpretation. You can interpret it any way you would like, and you did. I like it. I'm going to go with yes. I feel like they're coming back with one or zero wins, and I just don't know if you can go status quo. You can continue with it. I feel like something changes. What that is, not entirely sure. We'll see. Question number four. Which of the following items are you most excited about for this tilt at the pond? Is it, and this is from an Anaheim perspective, is it A, the Zegra show, B, another look at local lad Mason McTavish, or C, the Turkey Day toilet bowl, Ford Wilson?
Oh, without question, I'm going to go with the McTavish answer. He wowed us at the World Junior Championships. He was a man playing a boys game at the time, and this man-sized 19-year-old is going to be one heck of a player. I'm gonna go with. I'm just trying to find the answer here. B, the look at Mason McTavish.
Nice. Chris Stevenson.
Oh, I'm absolutely going with C, the Turkey Day toilet bowl.
The haterade. The keg is almost empty. We're going to get a new one for postgame.
I just think this is so intriguing. And again, if you lose another game, I mean, really, in the big scheme of things right now, I feel for the players. I feel for the coaching staff having to go through this. But honestly, the optics of this, two teams fighting for last place, I mean, whoever loses this game, it's not good.
It is not good. And I'm going to go with a little A, Trevor Zegras, but also,
sure,
in a way, kind of C. Because imagine Zegras does Michigan today to highlight Ottawa's record at 6-13-1. I love Trevor Zegras. I think he's great for the game. And not only what he does on the ice, his personality. Just saw an interview with him the other day with, I forget the guy's name. I'll find it later. But he's like a trick shot specialist. He has these TikTok videos of playing with the puck, throwing it up in the air, spinning around, catching. Like, the guy's unbelievable. And he met Zegras. He was in Anaheim. He met Zegras. And Zegras was like fanboying about seeing this guy. He's got great personality. And I love that. The NHL needs more of it. So I'm going with the Zegras show. Question five, the fifth and final question. What is your favorite, and I spelt it the American way, part of American Thanksgiving? Is it A, the Black Friday deals, which I know CJ's hit up already? Is it B, football all day on Thursday? Or is it C, maybe you have friends and family and you do your own American Thanksgiving celebration with your friends and family south of the border? Forget where I started last time, so let's just go to Chris Stevenson right now.
Black Friday deals all the way.
Nice.
While watching football. that's the perfect that's the perfect combination. So yeah, Black Friday deals for sure.
Good row.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, I had a great day yesterday after practice, just doing some homework in front of the television and watching football and texting back and forth with my son, who is watching football. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. The Black Friday deals I have taken advantage of here in the States. A memorable one was Arizona at 2 o'clock in the morning. Dean had wandered into the bar I was sitting in and said, "You got to get over to this store. There's some fantastic deals." I ended up buying a suit.
Beauty.
Hasn't fit since, so the Black Friday deals are a lot of fun here if you're into that kind of thing.
Incredible. I'll go with football all day Thursday. And for the first time I can remember, all three games yesterday were entertaining.
Pretty good. Yeah.
It was awesome. You add the fantasy aspect of it. I was off yesterday because Jared's been awesome. He's given me the daily shifts off all week with a couple of overnight shifts. So I sat back and I watched football all day yesterday. It was incredible. So that's what I'm going with now.
Good.
We'll take a break. The Dean Brown and Gord Wilson are going to let us know how the blue line shook out in pregame warm-up, how the Senators will dress tonight against, or this afternoon against, the Anaheim Ducks. Almost threw Mighty in there. But that is coming up next. Our view from the broadcast booth, our final pregame segment as the Sens pregame show continues. The TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
Back to the Ottawa Senators pregame show on TSN 1200. It's now time to head up for a view from the broadcast booth. Here's Gord Wilson.
All right, alongside play-by-play man Dean Brown, as we settle in for this afternoon's tilt between the Senators and the Anaheim Ducks. Dean, we've got some interesting developments for both teams, but let's start with Ottawa, because it looks as though Kevin Mandelaise is not going to play today.
No.
He's going to back up, though.
Yeah, he's going to back up, and he's going to be here. He's got a uniform. Skates brought all the stuff with
him. How about Thomas Chabot?
Tom Cabot looks like he's going to be in.
Really?
Looks like. We'll start at the top, though. A little bit of shuffling. They've shifted their right wingers on the first and second lines. So it's now going to be Tkachuk, Stützle, and Giroux will move back up with them after Batherson was reunited with them in the last game. It's DeBrincat, Pinto, and now Batherson back on the second line. And then the other two kind of stay the same a little bit, Mont, Brassard, and Joseph. Kelly looks like Gambrell and Watson. I'm being careful there because in the last game, in the Vegas game, if you remember, Gambrell took all the rotations in warm-up, and then they played Kastler.
Yeah.
So Gambrell took all the rotations. So I've got him penciled in, so we'll have to wait and see if that actually happens, because once bitten, twice shy. But it appears Gambrell is going to center that fourth line, but we'll see. Back to what's old is new again. And you mentioned how little they have actually played together this year because of each other having injuries. But it will be Chabot and Zoo back together as a pair. Sanderson and Hamonic. Holden will be the odd man out. Brännström and Lassie Thompson are your pair. Cam Talbot gets the start. And as you mentioned, with the lower body injury to Forsberg, it's not serious, but they've called up Mandelaise to back up. For Anaheim, just a couple of changes. They have a guy coming out. Klingberg is coming out of the lineup on defense because of a minor injury. So there's a change to be made there, and we'll get to that. Henrik, Zegras, Terry, it remains the same. Vetrano, Strome, and Silverberg.
Silverberg.
Mm-hmm. Jones, McTavish, Leeson. Regenda back in playing left wing. They played 7D last time, so they had White listed as a left winger, even though he didn't play left wing. So it's a traditional line. Regenda, Lundestrom, and Carrick is your fourth line. The defense now is Fowler, and Kulikov moves up to play with him. Beaulieu comes back into the lineup after being out for the last six games with a lower body injury. He'll be paired with Shattenkirk. And Benoit moves down and plays with Strand in the third pair. And Anthony Stolarz will get the start this afternoon, just his ninth game. He's 2-2. Gord will get to all his numbers and his history when we get to the starting lineups later on. But that, my friend, is how it looked from the warms-ups.
Okay, fantastic. Graham, that's our view from the broadcast booth. We're going to break away here now and get on the TSN 1200 Facebook live page. I can tell you the internet, the interweb is a little bit sketchy here, hoping that the Wi-Fi holds up. But if
I got
can,
a nice tie on today.
Yeah, you're looking very sharp. Here. Anyway, off to the TSN 1200 Facebook page live shortly.
Nice. Sounds good. Check that out. Win some free tickets, maybe. It's Chris Stevenson, only a couple minutes to preview this one. And is another backup goaltender going to make the Ottawa Senators look really bad here? Is it too much, I think. I know Leversage, if he was hosting this pregame, he'd be losing his mind right now about the amount of backup goaltenders that have been incredible against this Ottawa Senators team. You said, you picked your answer. the toilet bowl is what interests you the most. Thoughts going into this one against the Ducks and their backup netminder?
I feel like with today and just, you know, the feedback on social media and listening to people who have been texting the shows, that a loss today to Anaheim is just has so much more significance, right? Just because two teams battling to stay out of the basement of the National Hockey League. Certainly in the Senators' case, never expected them to be at this point. It's, you know, the stated aim from the general manager and the coach were to be playing meaningful games this year and to be competitive, and it has not happened, and it doesn't look like it's going to be happening in the near future. So to me, that is, you know, that is the thing that this group needs to carry into this game, that if there was a game that you needed to win, it's this game today, just because of the optics of it all. And that's the thing, I guess, that I'm most intrigued about with this game is can they play a tighter game, touching on all the points we've been discussing today, backing each other up, not giving up easy chances, not giving up easy goals. And let's see what they bring to the table today.
In about 45 seconds, Shabbat back in with Zub, Sanderson, Hamonic, Brandstrom, and Thompson stays in the lineup. Thoughts on the blue line?
Yeah, well, that should help having Shabbat and Zub back together. Not that they're the greatest defensive combination, but better than what they've had to get a fuller complement on the blue line. And hopefully that will contribute to what I was talking about in terms of just not giving up easy chances to the other team.
Let's see how they look. Really need a win against Anaheim here in the toilet bowl before we're returning on their trip. We'll find out next. Coming up, it is Dean and Gord with the call. We go upstairs to the broadcast booth with that play-by-play duo. Dean and Gord Sens Hockey's next on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.